superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
And most certainly you do not know who I am. Who am I? Why am I here? Welcome to the program. Always an honor to sit in for Rich and the guys. If it's a holiday or holiday adjacent by now, as a regular listener, you're probably conditioned to having to endure 3 hours with yours truly, Brian Weber, with you. And because the countdown to Memorial Day is underway, Rich and the crew enjoying the mega weekend. They have supersized it on a day we learned tragically we've lost Morgan Spurlock. No Rich until Tuesday, but because I'm a veteran of holiday shifts, I've been with you on Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, even Christmas Day. I will do my best not to destroy the brand that Rich has worked so hard to create. The show won't change other than I'm under immense pressure. I have to be nearly as entertaining and informative as the best in the business, plus the gang with Chris, TJ, and my dude, Mike Del Tufo. So if you want to offer some assistance, the phone number is the same. It's 844-204-7424. In all candor, phone calls are taken selectively, but I'm a radio guy and an auctioneer on the side, so I give out the phone number frequently and for a reason. If you are so inclined and you want to weigh in on anything I'm about to cover coming up with hard-hitting thoughts on the beatdown in Boston last night, especially with Tyrese Halliburton limping off the court in the third quarter, re-aggravating that hamstring injury that he really has not been the same since he suffered in December. That game was over, as evidenced by Rick Carlisle pulling out Pascal Siakam and the other players who actually meant something last night midway through the third. But as much as I want to go wall-to-wall NBA, the fallout from a decision that has been in the making for several years, and it became semi-official last night, revenue sharing is coming to college sports. Here's your preview. The Rich just got richer. No pun intended. The Eisens just got more Eisen-y. 844-204-7424. Hit me up on the X. That's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. I do my best not to overwhelm you with guests. In fact, we are wide open here in the first hour. Coming up in hour number two, in addition to my NBA observations with the takeaways from last night's lopsided Celtics win and getting you fully lined up for game two between the Mavs and T-Wolves tonight, with Dallas looking to maintain their momentum after ripping home court away with their victory in game one. Coming up in the second hour, 1:20 Eastern time, we will talk NBA with my friend Kurt Heeland of NBC Sports. And while I do my best to have an energetic delivery, elongating every word for no reason, I am old. So, in deference to those of us who remember when Major League Baseball dominated Memorial Day, we're going to do just a little bit of baseball, final segment of the program, 2:40 Eastern time, and I'm only doing it for two reasons. We've had 25% of the regular season in the books. If you're not paying attention, and I don't want to sound like I am Tommy Lasorda in 1986 with the Baseball Bunch, baseball is a much better product ever since they smartened up and implemented the pitch clock that had worked successfully in college ball and the minor leagues. I watched a game the other night that was 2 hours and 5 minutes. It might be too fast now, but the Yankees swinging hot bats. I'm here in Southern California. Dodgers continue to reflect that perhaps you can buy 105 victories in the regular season with their massive payroll, although, as you know, with L.A., it means nothing come October. Joe Sheehan, longtime baseball writer. You've read his work for Sports Illustrated and other platforms. He's gone into business for himself. Joe Sheehan of the Baseball Newsletter joins me to wrap up the program. How much of last night did you watch? Well, let's just back it up a little bit. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424. Coming up in 40 minutes, because this is the football show of record. And Rich, the first face you saw on NFL Network in 2003. That's why I'm very lucky to be in the chair, because I briefly worked with Rich when we launched the morning show. NFL AM, late great program that aired at 3 o'clock local time here in Southern California. We will get to OTA development. Another reminder why football is king. They have turned organized team activities and voluntary workouts into news-generating events. What in the world are the Cowboys doing? That's coming up in 40 minutes. But I threw it out the question, and it's not rhetorical. You could actually pick up the phone, as I've given out the number now way too many times. When did you realize, prior to Rick Carlisle waving the white flag midway through the third after the Halliburton injury, that game was over? Now, you can view it a couple different ways, especially in the modern NBA. A 15-point lead is not safe. These guys chuck up threes, not only in ways we've never seen before statistically, they knock down shots that if you had taken it 20 years ago, unless you were, let's go through the litany of sharpshooters before Steph Curry, Dale Ellis, or Reggie Miller, as much as I find his work on TNT very challenging these days, these guys can knock down shots from anywhere across the floor. So it's not a cliche to say no lead is safe come playoff time, but not a surprise, especially with the Halliburton injury, that Boston grabbed that game by the throat. If you're a Celtic fan, you're thinking, okay, that is extraordinarily promising on a variety of levels. You know the curse of game two in this postseason, and it just feels like the Celtics mess around with things and find out, to clean up that phrase as the kids use. They play with their food. Lost game two at home to the undermanned Heat, lost game two at home to the Cavs, and still dominated those series. So to get it done on their home floor the way they did behind the eruption from Jaylen Brown, went off for 24 in the first half, finished with 40, perhaps motivated by the quote-unquote snub that he did not land on any of the all-NBA teams. But what a juxtaposition on a big word Friday between Brown and the alleged superstar for the Celtics. And I'm well aware of how transcendent Jason Tatum can be. There's a reason why on Wednesday he was selected to his third consecutive first team All-NBA honor. The guy, when he's at his best, is one of the top seven, top eight players in the league. Remember, the first team, second team, third team alignment comes down to positions as well. So it's not just who are the top five players. But I'm not sliding Tatum other than this. How does he only have 4 points in the first half last night? Now, it sounds like I'm quibbling. When Boston was in total control, they won it by 16. It could have been an even bigger win. And I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. You want to talk NBA, you can pick up the phone, 844-204-7424, or slide over to the X, X-me, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. My thought on Tatum, as someone who has talked about the Celtics in the postseason in this very chair over the last handful of years, based on their deep runs going back to reaching the NBA Finals when they squandered that lead over the Warriors, in part because, and I don't want to go clutch gene, and that's a long time ago in basketball parlance, these teams grow up in a hurry, as we're seeing with Minnesota and, candidly, Indiana way ahead of schedule. If you're a quote-unquote casual NBA fan and you're wondering how the Pacers even got this far as the sixth seed, remember, most teams that are well-run have figured out you can't be stuck in the middle. You got to blow it up in the hopes of being relevant. Cleveland went through that, and what did that get J.B. Bickerstaff? First place, you're fired. Second place, steak knives. And I don't think the GB is the second coming of Red Auerbach, but feels like he got a bit of a raw deal there considering he went through their massive rebuild. Remember, in the wave of injuries that have ripped apart this NBA postseason, they didn't have Donovan Mitchell towards the business end of getting closed out by the Celtics. And really that move, in my estimation, not to pretend to be a poor man's Woj or any version of an NBA insider, that's to appease Mitchell because he's got the ability to sign the long-term extension. They don't want another situation in which, say, we saw with Kyrie Irving. You got a player then heading into his walk year. You got to flip him as an asset because, in all candor, how many players other than LeBron have signed up to stay in Cleveland because he's the Akron Hammer after all. But JB's the fall guy because it's a team looking to appease their superstar, and the Athletic had a long, detailed overview of all the internal friction in Cleveland. But I mentioned Spider Mitchell, as we call him in Goodfellas. I mentioned Halliburton. Think about what has been the most dominant theme of this playoff run. Injured superstars. More games lost to injuries already than all of last year's postseason, and we're not even midway through the Western Conference Finals. Giannis, Dame Lillard, Jimmy Butler. I mentioned Donovan Mitchell. Kawhi Leonard, unfortunately, that's because he's made of glass. You are what you consistently do. And Kawhi just can't stay healthy when you need him the most. And the entire Knicks roster, essentially, when Jalen Brunson broke his hand in Game 7, that just felt like the basketball gods having one more kick in the junk for the Knickerbockers. And now Halliburton, who clearly is the heart and soul of that team while Siakam has carried them in the playoffs, and what an excellent move that was prior to the trade deadline. Pacers, while I think they're on the verge of getting swept or a gentleman sweep now, depending on Halliburton's health, if he can get out there and even be 75%, maybe they have a shot at stealing a game or two back at home. But remember, he's been slowed by this injury before. It was not a good sign the way he reacted instantly. And that's why, listening to other shows coming in, and I just do it comparatively to make sure I'm not missing anything, I'm not stealing from the other programs. Of course, stealing in sports talk radio, that never happens. But I got a lot of takeaways, especially from the shows that take a ton of calls, killing Rick Carlisle for somehow surrendering last night. Well, I'm going to defer to a guy who's one of a select list of players to win an NBA ring as a head coach and a player back in the day for the Celtics, that he knows his team better than we do at home. Plus, he's got a hedge. If Halliburton can't go, let's say, for Game 3, we'll take it one game at a time, as we were taught to do years ago. Well, Carlisle quickly made the deduction. Everybody else going to have to play even longer minutes, especially given the gravity of that situation. Can't go down 3-0. So it made sense to rest Siakam and the rest of the starters because they're going to go, a la the Knicks, 44, 45, maybe 48 minutes coming up as the series shifts back to Indy. So I'm not throwing dirt on the Pacers just yet. That would be foolish because we just saw them come back against the Knicks, but a radically different situation. I realize, and I am a recovering Knicks fan, I do my best to over-enunciate, to dull the New York accent I grew up with, and I'm not anti-Knicks, but I've seen this movie before, and look, let's just tell it like it is. However you view the conspiracies that run wild across the NBA, especially in this era of NBA Twitter, the league is better when the Knicks are at least relevant. But if you're a Pacer fan saying, hey, fill-in guy, whoever you are, and I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen, you can hop aboard at 844-204-7424. We are open for business on X. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, no guests until just over an hour from now when we take you across the NBA with Kurt Heelan of NBC Sports. If you're thinking that the Pacers have already demonstrated their tenacity, their resolve, I cannot argue with any of that. staving off elimination twice, going to MSG to win Game 7 with the best shooting percentage we've ever seen in the history of playoff basketball. They could not miss in the first half on Sunday, better than 70%. Well, I realize the Knicks were a 2 seed. Are you aware of the differential between the Knicks and the top-seeded Celtics? Boston was 14 games better than New York. Boston had a historically profound regular season. They lost 4 games at the Garden, the home Garden, the T, whatever Garden is these days. I say the Garden as a New York guy, and of course I'm thinking about the world's most famous arena, TD Garden, thank you. 37-4 at home, making what they did, dropping games 2 to both Miami and Cleveland all the more reprehensible in a sports sense. So, Celtic Nation has to be smiling to see the team show up the way they did last night, especially after they were handed a gift at the end of game 1. I don't want to say Indiana choked. Let's just say a young team, especially with their floor leader, Halliburton, did not measure up to the magnitude of the moment. When he dribbled it off his leg with about a minute to go, I'm thinking on the couch, not good. When they throw it away with 10 seconds left, Carlisle took the bullet postgame, acknowledging what everyone was thinking, call the timeout so you can inbound it at midcourt. Instead, I'm not going to do the Johnny Most, Havlicek stole the ball, or Bird stole the ball, but Boston came up with the defensive play they needed, and you know the rest of the story as Brown buried that 3 from the corner and then kept it going with a monumental game last night. But for all of those positive things, and I have not even mentioned the name of Kristaps Porzingis, because, candidly, they haven't needed him. And if you paid attention during the long regular season, and I realize many of you don't, and I can't blame you, football drives the train, especially on this program, and I will satisfy your football needs coming up in less than 30 minutes when we talk Cowboys and other news related to the OTAs going on this week. The NBA at least used to have Christmas. The NFL has ripped that from them. It's only going to become a bigger property with a Netflix deal. I think many of you do not pay any attention to the NBA until we get to All-Star Weekend. But if you were just marginally following along during the regular season, you know what Porzingis meant on their way to the 64-win regular season. How about the acquisition of Drew Holiday? And we saw the unexpected offense from Holiday in Game 1, best known from his defense. And don't you think Milwaukee missed him in a major way, given all their dysfunction this year beyond whatever the motivation was to bring in Doc Rivers? We saw how poorly that worked out. So Boston has clear separation, not only from the remaining teams. I think, and we're just going to do this intuitively, if you were doing your unofficial power rankings coming into the postseason, I'm not telling you anything shocking to say. Boston was clearly the best team. I had the Nuggets at number 2, and I felt very good when Denver was up by 20 in the third quarter in Game 7, still not clearly understanding what happened from the Denver perspective in that game, while giving Minnesota all the credit they deserve. But you got Boston without one of their foundational players. And remember, Porzingis, there's no need to rush him back, especially if Halliburton can't go in Game 3. Coming up in Indy, Boston bumps it up to a 3-0 lead, effectively locking down that series. The start of the NBA Finals is etched in stone. It was like when Mel Brooks came down off the mountain in History of the World Part 1, he had the 15 commandments and he dropped them. One of those commandments said, the NBA Finals can't start until June 6th. Boston could have this thing wrapped up by Memorial Day. Think about all of the assets that would be accumulated by the additional rest time. Most importantly, getting Porzingis back and in basketball shape. Because even if he can get back on the court sooner rather than later, let's say there's an effort to get him on the floor before Indy is finished off by Boston. He's got to get real minutes to get his conditioning back and be able to replicate the pace of play that you cannot fully come close to in practice by getting out there in meaningful minutes. So put it all together. It's a wonderful night to be a Boston Celtic fan last night. I still am going to have a reasonable amount of criticism directed at Tatum. I know he finished with 23 points. Those were empty calories, something I'm well aware of. That's two supersize references in the monologue. Maybe I need to get to the gym between this show and coming up on Monday. Thank goodness no simulcast. That is on my bucket list. One of these days, I am going to talk my way into that studio, and I'll do the quick sidebar. I mention how much I value this role, and when the phone rings, I say yes before they even pose the question. So I probably have volunteered for things I don't want to do on this show, but I'm just happy to play a small role. I had not seen Rich for over a decade. Now, that's going to seem odd, right? I'm the guest host. I'll put it this way, and this is a stretch. I'm not comparing myself to Jay Leno, but in our business, Rich is certainly a Johnny Carson type figure. And yes, another contemporary reference. But I was having dinner at a legendary Italian restaurant here in Southern California. Rich came in. I hadn't seen him. No joke, for 10 years, we went over to the alcove because my voice projects and I didn't want to make a spectacle. He's a big star. And had a nice conversation. But thinking about what this program is all about, it is strong opinions. 844-204-7424. Tell me that I'm wrong or I'm picking on Jason Tatum. And your easy counter would be, hey, fill-in guy, he didn't need to score because Jaylen Brown was Larry Bird. I get it. But that still strikes me as a little bit too simplistic. If you are on the first team, All-NBA, for three straight years, you're the face of the franchise. You can't have 4 points in any half. You can have it in the second half when the game is out of hand. And that's how we got to the 23 points because the game had effectively already been wrapped up. And I'm not cherry picking. This is not an outlier nor an aberration. I don't have to go through his entire career. I can just limit it to this postseason. He disappeared for long stretches in the series against Miami. Same thing early on against Cleveland. So that would be the concern for the overwhelming favorite. And yes, I will crown Boston right now, whomever they might see. And we'll get you fully lined up for Dallas and Minnesota as we ease into hour number two of the program coming up in 40 minutes. I want to keep this East-centric for now. But if you're a Boston fan, tell me why I'm being too hard on Jason Tatum. The guy is the face of the place. You got to do more than 4 points, and you have to, in my view, have more consistency in these high leverage situations if indeed you want to be more than regular season, Jason. I'm not saying you got to be playoff P or pandemic P, but you got to come up with something much more substantial than what happened last night in the first half, even though they didn't need him to come through after Boston turned up the heat with that 20-0 run in the second quarter. Credit the scrappy Pacers. They got it down to two, but everything changed third quarter when Halliburton went down. I'm Brian Weber, appreciating you spending part of your Friday with us, getting you set for the long holiday weekend. 844-204-7424. I multitask. I'll be checking out your post on the X coming up. That's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. 20 minutes from now, we make the move to the NFL. What is Dallas thinking when it comes to their latest puzzling series of events in managing the cap? Do they have any understanding that they don't have to make it as dramatic as it's been time and time again when it comes to Dak Prescott? And oh, by the way, they also have to pay CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. But Jer, I'm sure, will have some colorful metaphor to make us all feel like he's still on top of his faculties. Coming up, we'll keep it concise. 7 days later, Scottie Scheffler shooting a 66 at the PGA Championship last week in the second round seems all the more impressive after his brush with the law. Details coming up. just getting warmed up on a jam-packed Friday. Always an honor to be in for Rich and the guys. I'm Brian Weber. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Brian Weber, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solution for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. 844-204-7424, the number to call. Conversation never stops on X. Never going to be Twitter again, so I'm just trying to keep myself aligned with the new corporate policy. X me, X me, X me at BW Weber, Weber with two B's. We'll keep this segment succinct because I want to devote more time to what's going on with the Cowboys, their latest nonsensical series of moves and inactivity. That's coming up in less than 15 minutes, and then we'll tip things off in the second hour by leaning into Game 2 between the Mavs and the T-Wolves coming up. Anthony Edwards emerging as a young face of the NBA. Let's stop with the Michael Jordan comparisons because I'm obsessed with how old I've gotten. I do recall a guy named Harold Miner, who played his college basketball here in Southern California at USC, went by the moniker of Baby Jordan. Let's not create ridiculous expectations, although Ant, and I do love his personality, I love his game, is writing some verbal checks he's been unable to cash. We'll get there coming up in 30 minutes, and that will be followed by NBA analysis from one of the best in the business, 1:20 Eastern Time. We'll check in with Kurt Heelan, NBA writer for NBC Sports. I rarely talk golf because I want to stay employed. Understanding that we now have four opportunities a year, especially with the divorce, considered a divorce, between the golfers who departed the PGA for the huge Saudi petrodollars on the LIV Tour, making the majors even more resonant because unless you are somebody who is dialed into the great CW network, and I'm not bashing the CW, they have a wonderful channel here in Los Angeles, Channel 5, oldest station west on the Mississippi. But unless you are a LIV devotee, we don't see Koepka, DeChambeau, who made a phenomenal run late at Valhalla on Sunday to make Xander Schauffele's breakthrough win coming up with his first major. No longer has to deal with the label of the best player never to win a major moving forward, making Xander's victory all the more impressive. But the story that dominated that weekend and still is relevant to discuss is Scottie Scheffler, who in many ways seems like a robot, and I say that in the best sense. You talk about the ability to compartmentalize. On his way to the course, I don't have to go through all of the details a week later, winds up in cuffs and in a holding cell as he's booked and arrested, comes back and shoots a 66. Scotty, the world number one, finished that tournament, second major of the year after winning the Masters, tied for eighth. I had looked at the leaderboard for this week's stop in Texas, Colonial, with all its history, for decades of play on the PGA Tour. 45 minutes ago, Scotty was scuffling in a major way because he is virtually Mr. Automatic. Suddenly he got hot. He's 5-under in the second round. Certainly in great shape to at least make the cut, and currently is owning a share of 10th. Speaking to his ability to remain focused, because, and let me pause here to make sure my words are being expressed clearly. What I'm about to say is in no way intended to be a generalization nor a referendum on law enforcement. If you care about my background, I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. Your voice can be heard at 844-204-7424. Candidly, your best option is the X, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. I am the grandson of a multi-decade member of the New York Police Department, so I am pro-police. That said, the fact that the officer who was the catalyst, in my view, for the incident involving Scheffler that led to him getting arrested has already now been forced to deal with quote-unquote corrective action from the Louisville Metro Police Department because he failed to have his body cam video recorder on during that incident. And we saw new video released yesterday from a security camera on the grounds or adjacent to Valhalla, in which it appears said officer was not being dragged at all by Scottie Scheffler's car. Now, in fairness, we only see that moment in time. We don't know what preceded that. And Scottie might have had a moment in which the cop said, stop, and did not comply. And then the police officer, in essence, jumped on his car and there's your dragging. But overall, just stating those facts, how amazing is it that Scottie Scheffler, who now appears to be more in the right than the wrong at this moment in time, and we don't have all the facts yet, how amazing is it that dude went out and shot a 66, especially with the update in terms of what we know today? Because it had to be absolutely stunning. He's sitting in a jail cell. That alone has to be emotionally jarring. He's wondering, remember they had the rain delay, so he got a little bit of good fortune on a very rough day that they pushed back the tee time, so he was able to bail out and get to the course on time, but throw in the added variable that unless he was in a complete fog because it was so early in the morning, and let's not lose sight of the fact somebody lost their life that morning. That was the proximate cause. A tournament volunteer who was working in security tragically got hit by a bus in part because it was so foggy in the early morning hours in Louisville. Scottie's sitting in jail, has to be thinking, I didn't do anything wrong. So you throw in that component. Feeling like you're wrongfully accused, you've been cuffed, and now you're wondering, beyond facing a felony among the other counts, although I think it's all going to go away, am I going to be able to go out and play the second round? Because, after all, they only play four of these things throughout the year now. So, just a brief thought on golf. I do not want to lose the audience. I understand we're not doing B-Web at the 19th hole. That's my podcast. You want me to break down what's happening on the LIV Tour? And let's also face it, with Tiger's complete lack of relevance, even if I wanted to talk golf now, I'd be committing professional suicide. When Tiger went down that ravine, he took a lot of the sport with him, beyond everything else that has occurred since the events of Thanksgiving weekend in 2009. He not only moved the needle, for many casual fans, he was the needle. But for Scottie Scheffler, who, not surprisingly, is in contention again, round two continues at the Colonial, to go out and do what he did, despite all the events that morning, with at least the updated sense that perhaps he was wrongfully accused, just the latest reminder, these dudes are very different than you and I. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. If you want to chime in, 844-204-7424, NBA dominating the program, but I'm well aware whose name is on the marquee. This is the football show of record. So we're going to use OTAs as a way to pivot to the National Football League. What does it mean when Dak Prescott says it's not about the money? And what did Jerry Jones mean when he said infamously the week of the Senior Bowl, the Cowboys were going to go all in? All that and more coming up. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich and the guys. It's a Friday edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Brian Weber back with you. It's always a blast to be in for Rich and the guys, and the goal is to be interactive. 844-204-7424 is our phone number, and the conversation remains hot and heavy on the X. BW Weber, Weber with two B's, closing in on hour number two of the program. Just over 15 minutes from now, we will talk Dallas and Minnesota. Do we all, to a degree, oh, Kyrie Irving, an apology. That's on the docket. And then we'll chase that with more NBA analysis from somebody who's not just spewing, like yours truly, somebody who's covered the league for decades, Kurt Heelan, NBA writer for NBC Sports. And we'll carve out a big chunk of the next hour talking about a seismic shift coming up in college sports. It's just about official. The era that has been over a century in the making is about to start. Players are going to get paid in college sports. First, want to tell you about our friends at Game Time. It's an authorized ticket marketplace for basketball. Rich talks about it every day. So by now, you're well aware it makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets for sports. I have used the app. Based on my experience, it is a tremendous asset. Think about everything going on now with sports and entertainment. So many great events to check out. Game Time has last-minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals. It's easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event in your area. Views from all the seats in the venue available on the Game Time app. Lowest price guarantee. Event cancellation protection. Job loss protection. Much more. Last minute deals. Always terrific. Get this. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you can save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. And you also have peace of mind on a few different levels. The lowest price guarantee is codified right there on the app, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying basketball tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now. Create an account. Use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for all the restrictions. Again, create your account right now and redeem the code RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk some NFL. You might have heard there is no offseason in the National Football League. It is astonishing to me, and if you have any sense of who I am beyond flipping around your respective, now dying, linear cable networks and hearing somebody shouting over gymnastics and softball and water polo, I've had a good run in the past covering the NFL, worked with Rich at NFL Network. That said, not too long ago, let's say a decade ago, nobody outside the beat writers, when newspapers were still a thing, and local talk shows looking for content, even mentioned organized team activities because the big names didn't show up because they didn't have to. It's voluntary, weak, weak, nudge, nudge. Now, there was always the inherent pressure or a losing team. Let's say the Carolina Panthers, because they're always a losing team, trying to reset the culture, especially with a new head coach and Dave Canales. Beyond that, we ignored these things because they're not worthy of our attention. Now, whatever's going on within the facility, OTAs are a chance for reporters finally to interact with some of the biggest names in football. So, for example, I found it very interesting that in Pittsburgh, Justin Fields the other day said exactly what you would expect a competitor to say, especially somebody who was highly sought after coming out of Ohio State. A round one pick again in Chicago that unfortunately didn't work out under center. We've been saying that since Jim McMahon. You want to go back to the 40s? It's been a minute since they had a franchise quarterback, and that puts even more pressure on Caleb Williams. But when Justin Fields said, and I'm paraphrasing, "I'm here to compete for the starting job," and somehow the football blogs blew up like that was insightful, what is he supposed to say? Yeah, I know that Russ has the inside track. I'm being the QB1. I'm just happy to be here. Or, you know, "I like Pittsburgh. I want to have a pierogi and hang out." The guy merely articulated a reasonable sentiment and suddenly it became, quote-unquote, headline news. So I do my best to avoid, and I don't love the term, but it's so mainstream, clickbait. Still, when Dak Prescott went to this level of verbal gymnastics to try to spin that he's not disappointed that he is yet to receive a contract extension, and ultimately this will get settled because it always gets settled. But when we're talking about the Cowboys, they find a way to mismanage and butcher all of these things because they're the Cowboys. Because Jerry Jones, while he defers to other quote-unquote experts in some areas, wants to meddle and play GM because he thinks he knows more football based on playing his college ball in a limited capacity at Arkansas decades ago. Jarrah doesn't just want to be another rich guy. He wants to be a rich guy who owns a team that he also has player personnel say in. So here we are once more with the Cowboys dealing with a contract kerfuffle, contract with a K, we can make that alliteration, with Dak Prescott. I don't need to go through the full list of contract drama involving Dak in the past because you probably remember or don't even care at this point, the franchise tag, and then the summer of Dak. Will he get paid? Won't he get paid? Well, we're going through it again because he's entering the last year of his deal in which no team wants to put their marquee quarterback in a situation to have to deal with the very questions that Dak is being posed, and it's only May. But if you didn't see what Dak had to say, this quote is just perfect. You could make it the foundation for a word salad and fill it up with Thousand Island dressing and those croutons. Quote, "I don't play for money. Never have cared for it, to be honest with you." Now, Dak, I know what you're trying to say there. It's not about the money. And he went on to say, business is business, and he'll defer to his business people to get it done. But to lead with, "I don't play for money, never have cared for it," like he's allergic to all things that are green. I know Al Michaels has never had a vegetable knowingly, and he is going to avoid anything green, unless it's parsley next to his steak. But come on, Dak. Now, you could say, back to my premise about the Russell Wilson, quote-unquote, QB controversy with Justin Fields, what is Dak supposed to say? He could say something like this: "It'll get resolved. I'm here to talk about football." But don't throw out, "I don't play for money, never have cared for it," when it's all about the money at this stage of his career, because this should be his last big money deal. I understand that careers now have been elongated in a major way, but given his gradual march deeper into his career and given what he's going to count against the cap, this should be his last massive payday, generational wealth for his family for years to come. So, of course, it's about the money. But this is the Cowboys we're talking about. And everything they say and do just gets weird because the tone is set at the top. And I don't have to go through all of the bizarre things that Jerry Jones has said over the years. Look, he made his money in the oil business. And there's a term in that business called glory holing. Has a different meaning in some other corners of the internet. The fact that Jerry keeps talking about glory holes is a bit odd. And circumcising a mosquito and everything else. More to the point, why did he feel the need the week of the Senior Bowl to tell reporters, quote, we're going all in, when they've done absolutely nothing? Their only move of substance was jumping in the hot tub time machine to get back in the Zeke business, who's a retread. Look around the division. Eagles, coming off a disappointing year, one season removed from the Super Bowl run. They went all in to get Saquon Barkley. The Giants are a mess, but they're typically a mess, and I don't know what they're doing with Daniel Jones other than they're on the hook for him financially. Remember, he's coming back from the torn ACL. Even Washington is slowly moving in the right direction. I love the drafting of Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn is a stabilizing force. Ownership change. Dan Snyder can go away and never come back. Everybody in their division, asterisk next to the Giants because they're confused most of the time, at least is doing something. And here's the Cowboys going all in and actually are crippled with complete inertia because all they do is talk. And that's why they haven't even smelt a Super Bowl since the mid-1990s. I'm Brian Weber. It's all about talk for me as well, but that's my job after all as a fill-in host. I can expand the conversation at 844-204-7424. You can hit me up on the X. It's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Coming up in the next hour, we talk NBA with Kirk Heelan of NBC Sports, and we'll tip things off focusing on the Mavs and the T-Wolves. Weber in for Eisen. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.